Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Birmingham, Michigan, became a minister, and founded Oak Point Church in 1997. He was given a gift by Shirley Lang of 27 acres in Novi to be used for a church. The land was entitled Gloria Deus Field, Glory of God. Today the church consists of 2,700 members, and its mission is to help people grow to love God in a life-changing way. His name, Pastor Bob Chirac. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Pastor Bob Chirac, the founder and pastor of Oak Point Church. Bob, welcome. It's an honor to have
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Jack. It's good to be here.
Can you start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
I'd love to. And it's interesting you should ask me that, because my mom flies into town for this weekend to come visit us at Oak Point Church. So I know she'll be listening, so I have to be careful what I say. My mom's listening. I was raised in a great home, a very good home, very moral home, great parents, two older sisters, raised right here in Birmingham, attended Seaholm High School, where I met my sweetheart and my wife, Shirley. But attended church every Sunday, faithfully. But somehow, Jack, like so many young people, when I went away to college, I kind of drifted from my religious roots, stopped going to church, and really was at a period of my life where I didn't see a need for God in my life. Really a 2 or 3 year period there where I was wandering spiritually. And I always tell people, I was raised Catholic. I was dating an Episcopalian. I was in Salt Lake City at University of Utah, so I was in the heart of Mormon country, in which, you know, there was a knock on my door one day, and I started studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. So I was really mixed up spiritually. I wasn't sure if I needed religion or God at all, but I was curious. I was searching. I was seeking. And we would attend Catholic church here and there, Episcopal church here and there. We would study with the Jehovah's Witnesses. All our friends were Mormons, kind of on a spiritual journey in college. And it was about my junior year in college at the University of Utah that I really began to study the Bible for myself with this group, Campus Crusade for Christ, that I've told you about before, a campus ministry. I had a mentor there by the name of Scott, and he basically said, Bob, it's time for you to really read the Bible for yourself. And he began in the New Testament with the book of Romans, and we spent 2 or 3 months just studying the book of Romans. And he really wanted me to understand God and theology and the Bible for myself. And it was sometime there in my junior year that I really came to a personal commitment in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And from that point forward, it was more than religion. It was a relationship with God. It was life-changing for me. Having that mentor and having the Bible just kind of open up for me, I started to see God wanted to have a personal relationship with me. That's where it changed for both me and my wife, Shirley.
For our listeners tonight who have a teenager or a young adult out there where they don't want anything to do with God, with church, what would you say to those parents?
Well, to the parents, you know, I'd say pray for your kids who are away at college, or even if they're in high school. A lot of parents are struggling with high schoolers and junior hires that don't want to have anything to do with organized religion. Pray for them faithfully. Pray for them daily. Set the example for them. Kids are real in tune with authenticity. If they see authentic relationship with God in their parents, that means a lot to them. That's like an anchor for them. If they see the parents walking with God in a genuine way, it's very hard for them to leave that. So set the example, pray for them faithfully, and if they're away in college, I really encourage parents to encourage their kids to get involved with a campus ministry like a Campus Crusade for Christ or some other campus group where they can explore their faith in the context of campus life. There's lots of very solid, good campus ministries that are going. I speak at conferences all the time for campus groups. It's amazing the number of them. You just have to seek them out and get involved, and it's good.
How was it you became a minister?
Well, after we got involved in our junior year with a personal study of the Bible with Campus Crusade at University of Utah, I was a marketing major, business marketing major. My wife was a professional dancer, a ballerina. But we began to see that the most significant thing in our lives was our personal relationship with Christ and helping other college students experience that as well as we had. And by the time we graduated from the University of Utah, we had made a commitment that we would join the staff of Campus Crusade as full-time workers, which we did in 1977. And we spent about the next 15 years of our lives working with Campus Crusade on campuses, in inner cities, 5 years overseas in the Philippines, in Scotland. We went on about a 15-year journey serving with Campus Crusade in various contexts and finally came back to Birmingham, Michigan in 1992 after serving all those years. But it was mainly the impact it had on us, and we wanted to see our lives used to multiply that impact in the lives of others.
To people that are thinking about ministry as a career, what would you say to them?
Well, I'd say it's the greatest career I could ever recommend, because you're involved in helping people not only live a great life now within God's will, according to God's word, but also for all of eternity. It's just such a rewarding thing. Not easy, but incredibly rewarding.
What do you do all day as a minister?
Oh,
you've got a 2 handicap, I understand. So what do you do all day?
Add 10 to that. It's about a 12 or a 13 now. Don't get to play much golf, but I spend about 15 to 20 hours a week doing study, research, meeting with my programming team, trying to prepare just for the Sunday mornings, the weekend messages, and the whole package there. So that's maybe about a third of the week. Another third is involved in leadership, administration, oversight, vision casting, direction, mentoring and coaching the staff, keeping the organization on track. And then another third is just devoted to personal shepherding, counseling, problem solving with people, meeting, discussing their marriage, their concerns, their jobs, whatever. So it's divided up really into those 3 chunks: Sunday morning preparation, a lot of leadership duties, and then shepherding.
When we come back, we'll ask Pastor Bob Chirac about Oak Point Church. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
We're with Pastor Bob Chirac, who started Oak Point Church in 1997. Bob, what's your church's basic mission?
We have a mission statement that it's evolved over the years, but right now it's changed by Christ, changing our world. Our goal as a church is to really see people come to a life-changing encounter with God and His Word, as happened to myself and my wife in college, as I explained earlier. We really have a heart for people who have given up on church but haven't given up on God. There's a lot of people out there that still believe in God, but they're not sure where to find Him. And they're a little bit disillusioned maybe with their regular church experience. We want them to come to our church, experience the incredible atmosphere, the worship, the people, and we want them to engage with God's Word in a fashion, we call it contemporary and casual, but without compromise. So I'm not messing around with the teachings of Scripture. I don't create that. I mean, I'm the messenger. So I give the Word of God as it is to people as they are. We give the historic message of Christianity, but it's in a contemporary and casual form where people can come in, and it's fun. The music's upbeat. The atmosphere is great. We want people to consider again the claims of Christ and the power of God to change their lives. Changed by Christ, changing our world. We want people to see, yes, God is alive. He's real. He's relevant. and he can change your life. He can change the way you go to work each day. He can change your marriage. He can change your relationship with your kids. He can bring meaning and purpose and power to your life. We want them to experience God in a life-changing way.
Can you talk about how a lady named Shirley Lang changed your life?
Yeah, Shirley, as a young girl, she lived in South Lyon with her dad. This is about 40, 50 years ago, and her dad used to take her to the market in Detroit once a year. They would drive down 10 Mile, and whenever they went past this certain field, Shirley would look at it and say to her dad, "Daddy, someday when I grow up, I want to buy that field." And the field reminded her visually of a field that her grandmother owned. And it sort of touched her heart. She developed a fondness for this field. Well, once you know, she grew up, and she did indeed purchase this field. It was about 30 acres in Novi on 10 Mile. And she named it the Gloria Deus Field, which in Latin means God is glory, or for the glory of God. And she envisioned that somehow, in some way, this field would serve the glory of God, but she didn't know how. As the area developed, and as housing developments came in, and as the city began to put water and sewer and all that stuff down 10 Mile, it became increasingly difficult for Shirley to maintain the property. She was going to have to pay for all of the water and sewage to go down 10 Mile across her 30-acre property, and she just couldn't afford it. She came to the place where she had to sell the Gloria Deus field. And she was in a predicament because she wanted it to be used for the glory of God, but here these developers are swooping in, wanting to rename it Whispering Willows Subdivision and all this stuff. And she had a real estate agent who was representing her who had just started coming to a new church in the area called Oak Point Church. This is like 6-7 years ago. And a deal fell through with a developer. And this woman named Crystal, when she dropped the developer off, she decided before she got back to the office, she had to call her new pastor to see if he might be interested in looking at this field. She called me from her car, and 10 minutes earlier, I'm telling you the honest truth, 10 minutes earlier, I'd been on a prayer walk asking God to show me specifically where to take this congregation, because I knew we'd have to find a location. And my phone rang 10 minutes later, and it was Crystal calling me from her car. She had just dropped off the developer, asking me if I'd be interested in looking this field, roughly 30 acres. And I said, "Where is it?" She said, "Well, it's in the heart of Novi." I said, "You got to be kidding." She says, "No, better. It's overlooking a lake, and it's across from the links of Novi Golf Course." And I'm immediately imagining my underground tunnel from my office under 10 Mile over to the links of Novi First Tee. And, you know, it was too good to be true. And we went out and looked at it, and it was like standing in a field of dreams. We were in a foot of snow in the middle of winter looking at this field. And we met the lady, Shirley, and she told us a story. And we told her we were from a church, that I was a pastor. And it was like these two lives and these two lines came together. Her dream for the Gloria Deus field and our dream to build a church for the glory of God in the heart of Novi came together on that day. And it's you've seen it now. It's there. It's a reality. Over the past 5 years, we've designed it, we've raised money for it, we've fought through obstacles, and we've worked with the city of Novi, and we're now in a 100,000 square foot, absolutely beautiful facility the past 2 months, celebrating the glory of God and the power of God.
Pastor, what is faith?
Faith, I'm so glad you asked me that. A lot of people have a misconception about faith. They think it's blind trust, and it's not at all. Faith is taking God at his word. It's believing that what he said is true. It's like sitting in this chair. I'm exercising faith by sitting in this chair, but there's evidence that supports my faith. I have a reason to sit in this chair. Every time you get in an airplane, you're exercising faith or trust. You are trusting your life to somebody, but it's based on some evidence, some history, some security, some knowledge. Faith is not just a blind leap, hoping that some power will come through and rescue you. Faith is taking God at his word. And it's very important for us to understand how faith develops. It says in the book of Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And Jack, you know, when my faith really began to grow is back when I told you I started to study the book of Romans in college, and I began to get to know what God says in his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The more I learned about what God says concerning himself, this world, myself, my situation, the human situation, the more my faith grew. The faith muscle grows as we learn about God and we take him at his word. When we see what he says and then we trust it, we sit in the chair, we get on the airplane, we take God at his word, our faith grows, our trust in God grows, and that's what faith is, and that's how it grows.
What do you say to someone who says, Pastor, I would love to, but I just can't believe?
Well, I'd say you really need to put yourself in a church context where you're being fed the word of God in a very clear and simple way on a regular basis. For a lot of people, the problem with belief is they're just not in a context week after week where they're being taught the word of God. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If they're not hearing clearly the words of God taught to them each week, it is going to be difficult for them to grow in faith.
We're talking to Pastor Bob Chirac, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Pastor Bob Chirac. Bob, what's the basic message of the Bible?
It's funny you should ask me that, Jack, because we just did a series before we moved into our new building. We did a series on, we called it The Story, and it was really the story of the whole Bible in six sermons or six Sundays. And basically the message of the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is this, in one sentence: God lost something and he wants it back. In Genesis, what he lost was a relationship with Adam and Eve. He lost that because they chose to walk away from him through disobedience. But God didn't walk away from them. In fact, right there at the foot of the tree, he made an amazing promise. He looked at the serpent and he said, Serpent, I'm going to put warfare between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush you on the head and you will bruise him on the heel. And right there, God gave the first gospel message, saying that the seed of the woman, the son of the woman, a male offspring from the woman would come and crush the serpent. God committed himself right there at the place where sin entered. God committed himself to win the battle and to get what he lost back. And the whole story of the Bible is the story of redemption. It's the story of God entering into the human situation, fighting evil, and ultimately sending his very own son to crush the serpent and to redeem lost humanity back to himself, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you move through the New Testament, God's doing this thing called the church, where churches are being planted all over the Roman Empire. What's the message of the church? It's the message of the prodigal son. The prodigal can come home to the father because God lost something and he wants it back. What's the end of the Bible about? The book of Revelation. It's the consummation of the ages where the Garden of Eden is restored. God lost something. He wants it back. And if I had to pick a verse in the Bible to summarize it all, I'd probably pick John 3:16, which is pretty famous. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God lost something. He wants it back, and he'll do anything to get lost people back to himself.
When we come back, we'll ask Pastor Bob Chirac about the greatest commandment. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Pastor Bob Chirac. Bob, talk about the greatest commandment.
It's interesting. Jesus was asked by the scribes of his day, what is the greatest commandment? Of course, the Pharisees and scribes used to sit around and debate this endlessly. And Jesus gave the answer very simply. He pointed to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. In other words, love God with everything you've got. That's the greatest commandment.
If I'm a teenager or a young adult today, how do I live that today?
We call it bringing everything under the gaze of God. It's not so much devoting your entire life to ministry, but it's seeing all of life as ministry. It's seeing your work as your way of serving God. It's seeing your role on a sports team as your way of serving God and representing Him, or your role as a mom or a dad or an employee or a president of a company. It's the way you go about all of life. It's bringing every day under the gaze of God, getting up each day. It's pretty simple, saying, God, here I am. I offer myself to you today. I want you to walk with me, empower me, protect me, use me. God, glorify yourself through my life today. And that's true, Jack, whether you're going to a pastor's office to be a pastor, or you're going to the auto company to be a worker, or you're a high school student going to the school over at Novi or Northville. It's the same for everybody, just different contexts.
If you're a leader leading a business today in Michigan, tremendous pressures from customers, competition, do more, less, with less, faster. How does that person live this greatest commandment?
You know, I know a lot of men in our congregation. Our congregation has quite a few executives, owners of companies, CEOs. It's amazing. They're able to do it. They're able to honor the company's need to earn money, to make a profit. And yet, at the same time, they're able to honor God because of the way they treat their people. They go to work each day and they respect people, they serve people, they love people. And even if they have to make a hard call as an executive, and if they have to release someone, it's the way they do it. It's the tenderness, it's the care, it's the compassion. And it's amazing. They're able to walk this line, Jack, between the profit motive and the necessity to be profitable, especially in today's culture. They have to really work hard and run a tight ship and are kind of a ruthless organization. And yet, at the same time, it's not ruthless on the individual level. They're very personable, very caring, very loving. And you'll find those executives even in their office when they're talking with someone, praying with them and caring for them and asking, how is your wife? How are your kids doing? It's that loving touch, even when they have to run a business. They're able to do it.
We've been taught that the family that prays together stays together. Very tough in today's family because of the carpooling, all these organized events. Talk about how a family can pray together.
Yeah, I don't buy the argument that it's tough, because I see our families, you know, over in the area where we live in the northwestern suburbs. These families are incredibly busy, and yet they're doing it. They are praying together. They're taking some time to do family devotions. These busy dads are spending time with their kids and living out the Christian life before them. So it can be done even in the busiest of contexts. I just think it's a matter of values and wanting to do it and making it a priority. I'm seeing, Jack, very busy families, dads that are business executives, moms that are involved, four kids, they're involved in every travel team you can imagine, and they're still engaging with their kids daily on a spiritual level, spending some time in prayer, cracking the Bible together, reading some scripture, and they're making it a priority to get their kids to church on Sunday, and it's really key, helping their kids also engage with the children's programs and youth programs. That's a big win. If you've got a church that has excellent programs from birth up to high school, that's a huge help. It just assists the family in a lot of ways, because then you have these additional mentors and role models who are coming alongside to help it happen. But the key responsibility is still with mom and dad.
Speaking of which, when I've gone to your church, your flock today consists of 2,700 members, and I'm amazed when I go how many teenagers, young adults. It's eye-opening. And a lot of the teenagers are bringing the parents to the church.
Exactly true.
You've done a fantastic job of attracting and capturing the youth. How'd you do it?
Well, we hire for it. We hire the very best Adventureland staff, children's workers. We hire the very best junior and senior high staff in the state of Michigan. that was a priority. In fact, 8 years ago, I was charged by the elder board, go out and hire the very best people because we want you to make everything from birth to high school top priority. And so we did that. We built for it as well. Our building, you go in our building, you look at the children's wing and you look at the junior, senior high facilities, and they are just jaw-dropping. They're incredible. They're so attractive. So it's a matter of putting it as a top priority in your ministry that you want to win the hearts of the children and the youth of this generation. And you said earlier that the kids are bringing their parents. That's an exactly true statement. Junior and senior high kids are finding our church first, and their parents are a little bit shocked. You know, what is this thing you're going to? I better go check it out. And they bring their parents. We've had kids who are 5, 6 years old. One story, just, it's incredible. This kid, he visited Oak Point one time, this little boy, and the next week he got up Sunday morning early and made tea for his mom and dad, took it to their bedroom, and as he served them tea, asked them, pleaded with them, could we please go back to the fun church? And there's just this desire on these kids' parts. Once they see it and they love it and they enjoy it, they're bringing their families back.
How can we learn more about your church?
Well, you can go on our website, www.oakpoint.org. Oak Point has an E on the end, but just go on the website, check it out. You can go through the site. You can also listen to our sermons online now. You can click on the headset there and listen to some of the messages. Best way is to visit. Just come on out, 9:15, 11:15 on Sundays. To experience it is everything. To see it online is one thing, but to walk in the door and feel the atmosphere, feel the worship, hear the music, see the building, it's pretty cool.
I echo that. The pressure on kids today, video games, internet pornography, rap music, MTV, you told me that a kid can't avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
He has to successfully navigate through it. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Well, I have four kids. They're all grown now, 25, 23, 21, 19. We started the church when the first one was just becoming a teenager. And Jack, I was committed to absolutely building a wall so that they would not see any of it. That I thought I could protect my family completely from exposure to all these temptations and things. It's impossible to prevent exposure to those things. They're going to see it. They're going to hear it. They're going to get introduced to it. But as a parent, you have to have a strategy to navigate through that with your kids, help them deal with it, help them to see the consequences of going down those avenues for a long term, getting addicted to certain things, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever. They've got to walk through with you the whole big picture of these things, and they need to do it while they're under the umbrella of your protection in the home. And they need to have, again, a youth ministry, a youth pastor they can talk to. They have to have peers that they can talk to beside their parents. And that's the key. Really walking with your kids through that journey. If you think you can protect them from it or isolate them from it in today's world, I think that's naive. I don't think you can.
We're talking to Pastor Bob Chirac, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Pastor Bob Chirac. Bob, in 8 days, we're going to celebrate Christmas. What is Christmas to you, Bob?
You know, it's the pivotal point in human history where we celebrate the arrival of the Savior sent from God. As I said earlier, the story of the whole Bible is God lost something and he wants it back. And the way he gets that back is through the story of redemption, where he decided to send his very own son into the world to swallow the whole problem of evil for us and to give us a free pass back into eternity, back into relationship with him. So it's a celebration of grace. It's a celebration of the ultimate gift, the gift of God, which is the gift of relationship with him through his son Jesus, and the gift of eternal life, and the gift of a life, a great life here and now, because of the purpose and the power and the presence of Jesus living within us when we accept that gift. So it's all about the gift, the great gift of God, which is redemption.
What can a family do in the next 8 days to better capture the true meaning of Christmas?
Well, a couple of things. You know, I would suggest a simple approach is take the first few chapters of Matthew and the first couple chapters of the Gospel of Luke. It's Matthew and Luke that actually tell the story of the birth of Christ. And simply read through those during the Christmas season as a family. Take some time to read the gospel narratives. Certainly, if you can make your way to a church and celebrate Christmas with a thriving Christian community, that would be ideal as well. But I think the best thing is just set aside some family time, open Matthew, read through the first couple of chapters of Matthew, and then when you're finished with that, open up the Gospel of Luke and read through the first two or three chapters there, and just talk as a family about what it means, what the story means.
Can you offer us a Christmas prayer, please?
Right now, on the air.
Please.
I'd love to do that.
Without the basket being passed.
Okay, no basket. Sure, I'd love to offer a prayer. Father, I thank you that you did indeed love the world so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to save us from our sin and our rebellion, our walking away from you. And you offered to us the gift of relationship with yourself and the gift of eternal life. I thank you so much for this Christmas season. And I pray, Father, that you would touch our hearts, that you would just touch the hearts of the millions of people who listen to the show, that you would cause Christmas this year to be somehow different, somehow deeper, somehow more personal. And I pray that millions of people would even discover this Christmas just that personal sense of relationship with you through Jesus, that they would know that whatever's going on in their lives, that you love them with an everlasting love. And we thank you so much for this Christmas and for the one who was born to save us, for Jesus Christ. And it's in his matchless name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I have trouble with letting God be God, surrendering to him, getting out of his way. What advice would you give me?
I think a lot of people have that struggle, letting God be God. You know, God created us and he made us to be workers. He made us to be productive. He put us in the garden and said, here, I want you to rule this place for me. So we're supposed to be workers. We're supposed to be diligent. But the challenge is we're supposed to do that in dependence on God, in partnership with God. So I see life, Jack, as a partnership where each day I get up and I'm supposed to go to work and I'm supposed to work hard. The Apostle Paul used words like labor, toil, agony to describe his own personal ministry. So he didn't just sit around and wait for God to do something. He agonized over his daily God-given tasks. At the same time, he used words like trust, dependence, meekness, humility, prayer, faith, to show it's a partnership with God. And that's how I view this thing, Jack. We have to maintain that balance between God doing it and us doing it. It's actually a partnership every day. And I need to, through prayer, maintain a heart of meekness and humility and dependence upon God every day.
You say that the word dependence is better than the word humility, being humble. Why?
Well, it's just I don't want to go on record as saying that I'm a humble person. I'd rather say I'm a needy person, all right? I need God. When you say you're humble, it's like saying something about your own character. But when you say you're needy, you're dependent, I think that puts it in proper perspective. And I feel that every day. I do not have the personal capacity to lead a church of 2,700 people with more people walking in the door every day. But I do. I have a responsibility to stay in the sweet spot of God's provision and power and protection. And as I stay in the sweet spot of walking with him in dependence every day, then he empowers, he protects, he provides, and it's this beautiful partnership. And it's a place of humility, it's a place of meekness, it's a place of rest, but it's a place where God can work through you in a marvelous way and do things that you just can't explain. Somebody once said to me, if you can explain it, God didn't do it. That's where I like to live. I like to live in the sweet spot of the unexplainable, God doing things through you that are just unexplainable. And yet he is using you. He's using your gifts, your talents, ability, but it's like the Apostle Paul said, not I, but Christ. It's that kind of a life.
What do you say to senior citizens whose eyesights are going, their energy is down, they're tired, their bodies are breaking down, and they say, why am I still here?
This life is not the real game. It's like Rick Warren said in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. This life is a test, it's a trust, it's a temporary assignment. But this life is incredibly flawed. We were not designed originally to live 60 or 70 years and half of that in the doctor's office, you know, suffering pains and all of that. We were made for eternity. And I would say to those folks, just put your hope in God. Read his word. See the reality, the promise of eternity. And just look forward with delight. I'm looking forward to the fact that someday, when I pass from this life, I'll walk into eternity with a new body, new legs, new eyes, new heart, new everything, and I'll live forever with him.
I've heard that there's never been a Brinks truck in a funeral procession.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about giving the money away.
Can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. As Scripture talks about the fact that the person who invests their time, talent, treasure now, here in this life, is actually storing up rewards and treasure in heaven. So no, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can make investments for eternity by using your time, your talent, and your treasure to serve God and serve other people. And Jack, I really believe that's the best investment you can make. By serving God with your life, you're actually storing up treasure in heaven. Jesus used those very words. He said, don't store up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But then he went on, he said, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So he did. He told us to be treasure gatherers. But we do it by investing here and sending it on ahead, storing up treasures in heaven. And again, that's faith. Trust, taking God at his word that it's true, because for me to release stuff here is a step of faith, but I fully believe I'll see the reward in heaven.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, I've got four of them myself. I have a little saying, three words that I gave to my oldest son when he went away to college. Love God more. Love God more than anything else. Love God more than money. Love God more than prestige or fame. Love God more than yourself. And Jackie gets back to that first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I would say to young people, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Put God first in your life at a young age. And watch God fulfill your greatest dreams and bless your life. Put God first now, and God will give you your greatest life as a reward for doing that.
Pastor Bob Chirac, thanks for coming. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the thousands and thousands of lives that you have changed.
Jack, thanks so much for the privilege of being here.
We won't be on next Sunday, but our next show will be Sunday, December 31st. And our guest will be a man who has written at least one handwritten thank you letter since 1955, Coach Rick Corzine. And I'm Jack Crisula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.